Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today I have Dan Kochkovsky here with me today. And Dan is the owner and founder of Vision 37 Marketing Group, which is a digital marketing agency focused on web development and SEO. So today we're going to be learning about Dan's journey of starting his agency, how he continues to grow it and bring in more leads, and also learn about some obstacles that he's had to overcome along the way and how he's overcome those obstacles. So thank you so much for joining me today, Dan.
Well, thanks, Julia. Great to be here and share my experience with everyone.
Wonderful. So to get started, I'd love to know, you know, how you got into digital marketing and how that led you to starting Vision 37 Marketing Group.
So in my previous life, I was in the supply chain industry. That was up until 2007. And what I really knew in my professional experience to do was just the supply chain and the sectors that were attached to the supply chain. I was in particular in the transportation field, freight transportation field. So I knew trucks. I knew, you know, how to service the customers from point A to point B anywhere in North America. So, and by 2007, basically, I felt that it was the right timing to start what was in my heart, which was to be an entrepreneur. And basically, I quit that business or quit that industry, or I thought that's what I thought at the time. I took a couple of months to really try to do some research on the challenges that I've had throughout my business experience that I wanted to find solutions to. One of the challenge was TMS application or transportation management systems that they were that we used that I have had used in the past. They were not really that intuitive. And one part I found that, okay, none of the other TMS applications out there have this intuitive, automated, streamlined, so to speak, part. So I'm going to develop a software that includes that part, that really streamlines the communication process and the quoting and acceptance of the quote. So basically RFQs and RFTs and so on between the shipper and the carrier. So that communication part did not exist with, again, with other applications. So I set out on that journey to do a research on how I can do that, you know, find developers who can, you know, who know how to do it, vet them and so on and so forth. So that was a brand new field for me, but I thought, you know what, I'm going to invest at that time, you know, 20, 30, 40,000, whatever I need to do to have this application developed. And, you know, I'll have some spare money to, you know, for marketing afterwards, because, you know, I've always known that, you know, to promote anything, you have to do marketing.
Yes.
Paid or otherwise. So, so in early 2008, I started the talks with this American software developing company. And by September, well, with some bugs cleaning and so on and so forth, by November, we had a stable application running online with, you know, it was a SaaS model, subscription model. And so we launched it. The point here that I'm trying to make here the takeaway point is that from a vision to a result, there's a very, very big difference in respect to the funds that you need to invest. You have to account for that. So that's something that I learned along the way. And why I'm saying this is because I was ready to invest 20, 30, 40 grand, but actually by the time everything was said and done, my budget was blown out the window. I had already paid by then just over $225,000. Wow. I, at that time, or basically throughout the development, I didn't want any investors, and I was open to a partnership. And by speaking to a friend of mine, he agreed to partner together, and that's how we got the rest of the money that I needed, or we needed, to, you know, pay off the developers and so on. Now the challenge remained: where do we find marketing money, or how do we proceed? How do we market this? Right.
Yeah.
The solution was there, but you know, if no one knows about your solution, then it's useless.
Exactly.
So I had basically, I can either quit, or I have to do it myself. I knew nothing about SEO. I knew nothing about PR. I knew nothing about marketing. So I had to learn SEO on a fly. And at that time, SEO was much more complex than today. Even though people think today is, you know, very, very complex, it is. But at that time was even more complicated and more manual.
Right.
So again, as I said, I learned it on the fly, you know, and you keep learning even today. You know, you keep learning. SEO is not something that that it's set in stone. It evolves constantly. So. Yeah. So that's how I started growing my company, through SEO, phone calls, speaking with people, speaking with colleagues that I, you know, used to collaborate with or worked with, and getting the word out there. In 2009.
I have a quick question. Okay. So you started the SaaS company, and then when did 37 Vision 37 Marketing Group come into play? Was that were you already operating the agency at that time?
No. So basically, when I started the TMS, and by 2012, we, out of 52 competitors out there with such application, you know, regardless if they did or did not have that distinguisher that we had within our application. So we were basically on the bottom of the barrel when we started. By 2012, we were ranked in the top three in North America. And we had, And so that's when I realized what an SEO can do for a business.
Yeah.
And so in 2013, I sold my company. And in 2013 December, nevertheless, you know, let's call it 2014, I really started working with Vision 37. So I created Vision 37, and I'll tell you where the name comes from. So throughout my operation with the TMS application, you know, I've developed all kinds of integrations and relationships with other applications or their owners or their managers and so on. So I had known, you know, hundreds of people that I established relationships with. Business relationships with. And so when I started Vision 37, I said, you know what, I think that the only thing that I do know is SEO. And let me call these companies that were my partners, integration partners, let me call them and see if they would let me work for them, or basically do their SEO on their websites. So I spent about 2 days calling. And out of like 50, 60 calls that I made, there were 37 at that time that already said, yeah, sign me up. So in 2 days, I started with 37 customers.
That's cool.
Yes. And so I said, okay. I mean, I didn't even have the name for Vision 37 at that time. So I said, okay, well, what do I call my company? So I had a vision. I started with 37. So hence the name, Vision 37 Marketing.
Oh, group. I love that. So, yeah, that's so awesome.
Yeah. So,
established that need as well. You know, you were sure that you had your client base, which is like so smart and so important. So I love that that's where you started. And then you went to naming the business.
Yes. And one thing I realized is people will give you business if they trust you. Doesn't matter what name you are. Doesn't matter how big or small you are out there. If they trust you, they're open to a relationship and they will give you their business. And that's exactly what happened. They didn't care what kind of company I'm going to run. When I told them, hey, you know me, you know what I've done for my own company with SEO. Do you want me to try to do the similar thing for you? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like almost everyone said, I called 60 people, hit a few voicemails, but I spoke with like 43, 44 people. Something like that. And out of 44 people, let's call it 45 people, I got 37. So I was like on cloud nine. You know, I can start here with it. Yeah, I can have a really good start. So, and that's how everything started. You know, I started hiring people. The vetting process was difficult. I had never done it for SEO because it was a different type of people that I was hiring throughout the previous, developing the previous application. So nevertheless, you know, I created a team and most of those people that I've hired in 2014/15 are still with me. So, and they're in the UK, they're in Canada, they're in the States. I have some in Spain. And so far, so good. Now, if you have any questions, you know, I can answer some questions, but, you know, I can continue the story if you want me to.
Yeah, continue the story. I'd love to segue a little bit into just talking a little bit more about how you continue to nurture those relationships, because it sounds like you've done an amazing job nurturing the relationships in your network. And I think that's such a critical component of growing your business. So let's continue with what you were explaining to us, and then we'll segue there.
Yeah, certainly. So basically, you know, when we started doing, when I, you know, hired more people, we could take on more jobs, more SEO work and so on. We realized throughout that, you know, it's hard to deliver results for some customers because they don't have the right solutions, such as slow websites. So if you have a slow website, no matter how much money you throw at it, when someone lands onto your website, they're going to bounce right out of it. So the search engines don't like that. So that means they're going to derank you. So no matter what type of, you know, SEO job we do, if you're deranked and you're not ranking, it will be useless. So, you know, but you come to understand that over time with work, right? So we were doing good job. We were doing a good job with, you know, many, many customers, but there were some of those that we were really struggling, you know, getting approval from their own website hosting and administrator to, you know, put some codes in or whatever we needed to do, and SEO and so on. It was difficult. So what we decided in 2016 was we got to create our own hosting environment and suggest to our customers to move their website to our own hosting. If they want us to continue working on their websites, they will have to migrate their website. We will migrate it for them, but at least, you know, it's going to speed up our process, going to speed up their ranking, it's going to speed up everything. And that's exactly what we did. And it was I think over 120, I'm not sure exactly what the number was, only two said that they didn't want to. And why they didn't want to, because one of them was just about to sell his company, the other one was just about to retire. Everyone else absolutely accepted the proposal. And we migrated everything, and it's been great ever since, to be honest, because now we have full control and full access to everything that we need to have access to, and can do whatever changes or updates we need to do within, you know, seconds or minutes. Because sometimes, you know, it only takes just to click a button or whatnot. So we really started moving to that direction. And in 2019, we said, okay, you know, customer trust us. We don't chase new customers, which is great. I mean, we've been very, very lucky that our business has been developed on 99% of the time on referrals, on word of mouth. It is because we genuinely want to improve their business. But it's a cliche, nevertheless, I understand that. Now, in 2019, because for new customers, just like everybody else out at that time, I guess, we had a very clunky process of developing or establishing what kind of a new website our client wants. Mm-hmm. A new client or existing client, because you know sometimes they have 2-3 websites, different businesses, and so on. But it was a very clunky process where you know we would send them links or we would send them templates or screenshots. Or do you want this layout to be like this? And then get on a call with them and talk, you know, go through wireframing and so on and so forth. It was a very, very clunky process. So we said, okay, what if we develop our own internal, so to speak, only customer facing interface online where we can upload all our templates that either we have developed or that we're using from, you know, third party vendors that our yeah. customers can choose from. So that's what we did. So we developed this a library or gallery, so to speak, of web templates. So we would just mm-hmm. send them one link. They go through it and they just tell the name that they like. This is how I want my website to be. So we saw that as all of a sudden it cut down 99% of our correspondence with the customer about deciding what type of website they want, layout, design.
That's really
cool. Yeah. So in 2020, I think it was March or something or April, something like that, when the pandemic started.
March.
Yeah. I said, we got to do something with this. And it was, you know, idea sort of a bouncing off, you know, a few of us, between the few of us. And in 2021, we said, you know what, let's just open this to public, you know, just like other website subscription builders are out there. But they have their own proprietary software application. We can do this with WordPress because we exclusively work with WordPress. So we can offer, you know, WordPress website to clients. And the difference is that, you know, between WordPress and any other application out there is that with any other application, when you stop your subscription, your website dies. Whatever SEO you've invested, whatever work, you know, content development or whatnot, you know, ranking and so on, it's mm-hmm. gone, right? With yes. WordPress, you own it. It's yours. It's your intellectual property, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very, very easy to customize on your own. Mm-hmm. It's hosted on VPS servers, on virtual private servers on our server. So it's not on a shared server where it's, you know, one amongst the, you know, 5,000 other websites. When they get clunky, your website gets clunky, right? Mm-hmm. So it's on fast. So you got a WordPress website, you got fast servers. And one thing that we have set out to be to our customers is to help them face to face. When they need our help, support, just like this on Zoom, the virtual face to face, yes, but still face to face, instead of yes. phones, instead of emails, instead of, you know, all kinds of other types of communication. And this is what our customers really, really like, because, you know, it's different ordering shoes online and different, or, you know, buying shoes when you can try them and you know, put them on when you go to the store. So it's a totally definitely. Different experience, right? So mm-hmm. we provide that video face-to-face support to our clients. So those are the three things that really people have found. Smart Convert, which is, as I said, a brainchild of Vision 37 Marketing Group. So smartconvert.io is, that's what it provides. It provides now websites to business owners that are free, sorry, that are fast, that our customers, business owners own their websites, mm-hmm. right? And they get the support face to face like this, you know, either speaking, trying to share idea and collaborate on things, or showing them or showing us on the screen the issues that they might be having, not only with their website, but sometimes is, you know, other services that we offer, such as email marketing and so on and so forth. So it's a very, very different type of experience that we provide to our customers than I would say anyone else out there or most of the companies out there.
Right.
So
okay.
That's what I've learned, that when you really try to solve a problem or solve a challenge that your customers have, that you will grow, that you will be successful. So I think that's what I can sort of summarize my up to today, my experience.
Okay. That's really interesting. And So where do you see Vision 37 Marketing Group in 5 years' time? What are your goals?
Well, we continue, as I said, to grow with Vision 37 Marketing Group. It's a very steady grow. It's not a fast grow. I'm not looking to build a billion-dollar agency, taking on hundreds of people. But we have been growing year over year. And in 5 years from now, perhaps maybe tripling our business from now, because we have doubled it so many times.
Yeah. And exactly.
Hopefully it will grow. Yes, we constantly hire people, but at the same time, you know, it's a controlled growth. You know, we want to make sure that when we grow, we are there to support our customers instead of start hearing complaints about mismanagement, miscommunications, and so on. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that controlled growth is key. So you're not, you know, growing faster than, you know, you're able to support your clients. Exactly. If you had one growth tip that you could share with any up and coming agency owners, what would that be?
Solve problems, your customers' problems.
Mm-hmm.
Be the solution.
How do you get in front of those prospects to, you know, open that discussion for how you can solve those problems?
One at a time. The first thing is to have a proof of model or whatever you do. If you do it successfully for one client, then take that their experience, either in writing or in, you know, video format, as a testimonial, whatever format you get it, and then you share it with those who you think that should be your customers. So, yeah, I mean that's the only way I see it. Unless you want to go with paid advertising, you know, paid advertising is, you know, broadcasting your message out there, and you try to filter the traffic afterwards.
Yeah.
While, you know, this other way, which is the more organic way, is, you know, doing it one at a time. And then when you have two, then you've basically doubled your business. Then, so yeah, do the quality work, you know, the results have to be there, period, full stop. There's no gimmicky or gimmicks in our kind of our business, either SEO or visuals of a website or email marketing. You know, it has to work, has to be functional, has to be attractive, has to convert, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such great advice. And I'd love to know a little bit about, you know, what would you say has been the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome along the way? And how have you overcome that challenge?
Yeah, the biggest challenge that I've had was, again, as I said in the beginning, the marketing part was the biggest challenge. So, but out of that, still, I think it's relevant today. You have to do marketing, you know, whichever way you do it, organically or paid, as I said. People sometimes, they come to me with the very same story I had in 2008, where basically I said, you know what, I've developed this great product. I don't have any money for marketing. How do I proceed? So they ask me the very same question, and I exactly know where they're coming from. So I don't judge in that respect. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we try to make something happen for them, maybe at a slower pace because they don't have this massive budget. Right.
Right.
But yeah, so we are in a situation we're lucky to be able to qualify customers and pick and choose who we want to work with. I mean, I feel that we are lucky because not every customer can be a customer or should be a customer of ours. You know, if we say, you know, yes, let's have the conversation, we're going to have the first conversation, and there will be questions or questionnaire where we would ask you where you want to go and do you have the solutions within your lead qualification process. You know, let's say, do you have someone to answer the emails? Do you have someone to answer the calls, and so on and so forth? So those all those questions are relevant to us. Why? Because almost everyone would say, yes, I do have people working for me. Yes, they answer the phones. Yes, they, you know, reply back and so on. But then after the phone call, maybe after 5 days, 10 days, we do a spot check. You know, we do a mystery shopping. So we would send them an email, and then guess what? Instead of replying within an hour, they reply after 3 days. Or when we call the phones, mm-hmm. instead of getting a call back from a voicemail the same day or within the same hour, we get it maybe the next day. Well, that's not who we want to work with per se, because when we bring them the leads, either through organic or paid advertising, doesn't matter, when those leads come in, they will still not be able to convert, because mm-hmm. when the customer doesn't return a call or not doesn't get a call back within an hour, they're going to pursue somewhere else. They're going to go somewhere else.
Exactly.
And then the complaint will be against us, that we are not providing quality leads or enough leads. You understand? So
yeah.
So this is why we're very lucky to be able, in a situation like this, to be able to choose who we want to work with. So again, hope this makes sense. Maybe it's not for every level or every size of an agency, but when you get to a certain point, then you should be picky, because you know that you can deliver. You have the blueprint. You know how to deliver these results for this client. But mm-hmm. if you know that they're not willing to change, for example, or to update their process and so on, then mm-hmm. you should not be working with that kind of customer.
Oh, I love that. I think it's so important to really just, dial in who that avatar is, who you want to be working with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you guys have done a really good job of doing that, to the point of, you're holding them accountable when they say, yeah, like, we're going to be responsive when leads come in. You double check that, because it's just going to pay you back in the long run. It's going to save a ton of headaches by just double checking that they are, yeah. That ideal client that you want to be working with.
Yeah, and we don't disqualify them right away. I mean, we would go back with the feedback to them. And if we sense that they are willing to change and that, that they will make the change mm-hmm. As soon as possible, then yes, we may continue to talk about, working together. But if we see that they are being defensive and with all kinds of excuses, then yeah, that's a red card right there.
It's a red flag, yeah, yeah. Awesome.
I call it a red card because I don't want to deal with that anymore. All right. Nevertheless.
Awesome. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first I have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Awesome. So the first question I have for you is, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I have to be honest with you. I haven't read a lot of books in the past 10 years, if not
okay,
longer.
That's okay.
I like romance, which has nothing to do with business. So I can tell you as a writer, Sidney Sheldon. But other than that, I don't really read too much books. I read ebooks, but mm-hmm. I don't think they're worthy, because there's so many and I've read so many. I don't think anything is worthy of mentioning, to be honest, because I don't follow that kind of a...
Okay. Yeah. Not a problem. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Get up as early as you can. And the first thing I have in the morning is a meeting with all my departments. So up until 11:30, I'm booked. I'm basically unavailable for everyone else, unless there is an emergency. So because I have to get in touch every morning with my SEO team for the projects that we're working on, where we at. So I keep them accountable every day about everything they do. I mean, I have a team that I wouldn't like to share my team with anyone. They're just as good as they can get for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so the first thing is meeting with my teams, the design team, the SEO, and then the advertising. And then after 11 o'clock, I can have breakfast or lunch or whatever, because usually don't have breakfast in the morning. Nevertheless, then I can be available for clients, and that's what the morning looks like.
Awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I don't study or follow per se, but I like Richard Branson. Virgin has always been for me sort of a innovative in a field of approaching to businesses or to solutions. And I like Richard.
Perfect. And what's your favorite online tool?
as you can probably imagine, I use many tools, but I have to be biased here. As a tool of getting a website, that's what I dive in and read every day is smartconvert.io.
Perfect. Love it. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Many things. I'm trying to think which one is the best out there, top. But one of the things, I guess, is to understand that no matter who does the marketing, yourself or somebody else, the product would not take life on its own. You have to do something about it. And don't procrastinate. Don't start tomorrow. Start today.
I love that. Well, Dan, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. I've really enjoyed learning about your story and your journey of building Vision 37 Marketing Group. So thank you so much for being today's guest.
Thank you for having me, Julia. It was great.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast. And we'll see you next time.